Hi, I'm Oliver Berquez, co-founder of 40Fit, and welcome to the Brain, Brawn and Business podcast. It's a 4 at 4 series, which is a new feature I'm doing on the podcast where I get an expert guest on to offer 4 tips and advice in their specialist area at 4 p.m. Tips around business, fitness, mindset and performance. The episodes will be aired exclusively live on my social pages and my Brain, Brawn and Business Facebook group, with the podcast episode released a few days later. With the current coronavirus epidemic upon us and everyone having to isolate and work from home, now more than ever, it's important to look after your physical and mental health. And I want this podcast to support everyone to do that. Episode is coming up now, and I hope you all enjoy it. Hi everyone, Oliver Berquez here, and welcome to another 4 at 4 episode of the Brain, Brawn and Business podcast. Today, my guest is Lauren Kress. She's the business scientist, the creator of the Home Start YouTube series, host of the Grow Your Brand podcast, and founder of the Change Makers Collective, which is a science-led growth consultancy for visionary thinkers and leaders who are changing the world for the better. This episode is all about strategies to grow your audience and brand in the current climate, and Lauren shares some great advice and tips around the areas. The 4 key parts to it is 5 reasons a customer will purchase from you, how to increase your visibility with no marketing budget, the biggest mistake most people make when they tell their story, and the 5 pillars for brand growth. So the episode is coming up now with Lauren, and I hope you all enjoy it.
But the four at four sort of works. My guest lives in Australia, so we're going to give it the 4 at 4, although it's 7:30 UK time-ish. So, yeah, we made that work. For those that haven't seen a live interview I've been doing since we've been in this sort of coronavirus epidemic, the 4 at 4 has been sort of an adaptation of my podcast and also the interviews, because I think right now what's happening in this current coronavirus like epidemic people are in, like, it's a really challenging time, whether that's a physical loved one or if it's from a personal business point of view as well. I think that everyone's being challenged in a certain way. So the idea of this podcast is just to try and be as positive as I can and getting the guests on that are sort of have a real impact on what they're doing with their communities and just send some really practical advice, whether it's around business or fitness and mindset and performance. So I think any sort of advice and any edge, any support, I think right now in this current time is really, really important that we can give people. So yeah, that's the purpose of the interview around what I'm doing. So before, and then just, yes, yeah, so on to my guest today. So Lauren Kress. Lauren is, she's a great lady. I've been connected with Lauren for a while, and what she does on her socials is brilliant. She's really positive and very professional, and her message is great. So I'm just going to sort of introduce Lauren. She's the business scientist. She's the creator of the Home Start YouTube series. I think that's a new series you've started, Lauren, so it'd be good to find out a bit more about that. Grow Your Brand podcast, and I've heard some of those episodes as well. So it's a great podcast. I recommend anyone go and listen to as well, obviously after this one. She's the founder of the Change Makers Collective, which is a science-led growth consultancy for visionary thinkers and leaders who are changing the world for the better. But yeah, so that's Lauren, and welcome, Lauren. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks, Oliver. Thanks so much for having me. It's great to be here. And I love the positivity sort of behind what you're doing as well. I think it's really great.
Yeah, I think it's important right now because I think whether it's local government scaremongering with certain things or if it's, you know, people, you know, look, it's challenging times for one way or another. And I think we've all got to try and deal with the situation and try and move forward the best we can. So I think any, you know, positivity or practical advice, I think, can really help.
Yeah,
100%. How are you?
I'm echoing a little bit, so I'm just going to put my headphones on while we're chatting, but keep going.
No worries. No worries. Just whilst you're doing that, I'm just going to – so, look, Lauren's got some real specialist areas. Today, the 4 at 4 areas you'll delve into is growing your audience and brand. So I'm going to give you the four areas you're going to cover. So it's the 5 reasons a customer will purchase from you, how to increase your visibility with no marketing budget, the biggest mistake most people make when they tell their story, and the 5 pillars for brand growth. So I think you're going to get loads of value from this, anyone that's listening now live or watching back later on LinkedIn. Lauren's earpiece are in. So, Lauren, how are you? How's life? How's things for you?
Look, I'm good. I'm not going to pretend that there haven't been some ups and downs during this time. And, you know, generally, I think for business owners as well, I think this is a really challenging time. Generally, it's pretty challenging being a business owner. You know, it's kind of like a bit of a roller coaster ride anyway. I've been good, but I've definitely had some mental health challenges, I think, if I'm going to be really honest. I think it's been hard to, as someone who's very extroverted, to be really confined. Like, I'm used to working at home. I've worked at home for the last 3.5 years, but I'm not used to not being able to go out for dinner with my friends and, you know, get out, to go and do those normal things. Like, I think a lot of people are struggling with that. So, life is good, and I'm very grateful for a lot of things. I think this experience has been very humbling, really, in sort of recognizing all the things that we probably take for granted, like being able to buy toilet paper from the shopping center, things like that. But overall, I feel like there's a light at the end of the tunnel, and I think this has been a really sort of positive opportunity, actually, for a lot of people to stop and reflect and think about what they're going to do next.
Yeah, totally. I really agree. And for you, how are you? Because we've all had challenges, you know. Like, there's been days that have been really challenging. I mean, I'm home. We've got two young children. So me and my wife, we've both got businesses. We're trying to balance that. And there's homeschooling and the kids and being all in one roof and stuff. So I think post some real challenges there. So that's obviously personal, obviously business challenges as well, and maybe loved ones as well. So, like, how are you sort of coping that? What have you done? Any strategies you've done that have helped you over the last few weeks?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest things has been sort of trying to have some sort of routine. I don't have children. I think this has made things a lot easier for me than it does for a lot of other people, because I recognize that, yeah, homeschooling would be tough. I actually was a homeschooler growing up as well, so I know what it's like as the kid being homeschooled. But for me, I think the biggest thing was, like, I realized I have to go for a walk in the morning. Fortunately, I'm in a part of the world where I'm able to do that. And I'm right next to the beach. So, you know, very, very grateful for that. So I just sort of get up, go for a walk first thing, and then I kind of feel good that I've gotten out of the house. And the other thing that's been sort of really important for me to come back to is just realizing that I have to, like, stop work at some point during the day. So what I found in the first sort of, like, my knee-jerk reaction when all of this happened was to just, like, throw myself into being super busy. And slowly I realized that actually that wasn't healthy, and I wasn't sleeping for about 2 weeks. I was sleeping like 3 or 4 hours a night. And I was like, that's probably not great. So I've had to really monitor myself and start to kind of find a new routine, I think, which, again, I think a lot of people are going through that, you know.
Yeah, and I think as well, I think there's certain things that, you know, the serendipity moment of the situation being forced, and we might not have done some things we've done in the past few weeks had, like, lockdown occurred and made us do that. So I think the serendipity of that happening, and maybe certain things that have been done that had a positive impact, are almost going to change the way maybe people perform on a daily basis, what they do, how they interact. So I've certainly noticed some changes that way, and there's certain things I'll do now moving forward. And I think staying connected with people and that over-indexing on maybe communicating and make sure people are okay more than maybe before has been something that's really important to me. I think it's helped me, and I think it's helped others. So it's something, there's certainly some really good things in that perspective from me as well, you know. But yeah, so you're walking daily, that's been helping you. Any sort of other daily habits? Because something that I've noticed with you, you're producing a lot of content, which is great, on social media and I'd say LinkedIn. You've done interviews yourself for your podcast and your business. So have those things helped you? Has that been some accountability for you, or has there been other habits that maybe helped you?
Yeah, I think one thing that happened for me was I kind of just went back to, all right, what really brings me joy, and what do I love to do anyway? And for me, that really is one, teaching, and two, having conversations. So I kind of took a little bit of a approach initially of going, well, how can I just create some value now? And I talked about this on another podcast recently, where basically the first thing I did was really jumped into trying to get some answers from experts about what businesses could do around the world because of the coronavirus pandemic. So I think we were one of the first podcasts outside of the official coronavirus podcasts to respond. I like stopped my podcast halfway through a season and I was just like, this is what businesses need now. We need to start talking about this. What can we do? What's happening? Let's learn about this current situation. And so for me, it was sort of like teaching and learning at the same time and talking to so many different experts. And as an extrovert, that was really good for me to just
be able to
connect to other people, you know. So I just focus on what brings me joy. I didn't focus on the short-term game of trying to like build or sustain a pipeline. Instead, I focused on like my current customers and then visibility, because I was like, I think if each of us work towards trying to provide value at the moment with one another, like we're all in this together, we're all going through, you know, different things, but we're all going through this. Out the other side, I could look back and kind of be like, I'm proud of how I behaved during this time. You know, I feel like I contributed something of value, hopefully.
No, you definitely have. And you definitely have. And I've enjoyed some of the interviews when you have aired them and done them. I think it's been great, that angle. And that almost echoes similar to me, really, is I felt like right in this time is if I had a challenge or something that helped me, I've shared that on socials. So there's a strategy around this time. Prior to then, like you, it was serve my current clients. And then whatever content I'm putting out there is trying to provide value. So I think sort of support that approach you've had, and also chatting as well. You find chatting and learning stuff from other people does help. It helps as well, and it's that sort of sharing and talking. So I definitely think I'm a huge advocate for that.
Yeah, and I think that when we have conversations, it, you know, especially if you're someone who values conversation, it's sort of like, for me, it's like a little adventure every time I talk to someone, because it's like, where is this going? Like, what's going to happen at the end of this conversation? And it always surprises me and it always delights me. I mean, sometimes, you know, you meet people that you don't gel with as well, but that's okay, because I feel like, I don't know, for me, I learn something anyway. So,
of course, yeah. Me too. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, definitely. It's great. So before we go into the 4 at 4 and we go into that, I know it's a real specialist area of yours. And actually, I think this is a really great topics you're going to cover, and I'm going to get my pen and pad out myself. Sure, I'm going to get a couple of golden nuggets in this. The business scientist, so science is being a business. Just give me a little bit of context around that before we start.
You know, everyone asks me about this. It's quite funny. So I always say, like, look, I actually don't have a business degree and I don't have a marketing degree, but I have worked basically always in marketing and media since I graduated university in science. The thing with business is what we're trying to do is we're trying to make valid and reliable predictions so that we can govern our business, so that we can work out how to make the best decision moving forward, you know, informed decisions. What I find and what I have found throughout my career is that most of the time businesses are actually making decisions based on assumption, based on bias, and based on, you know, stereotypes and things that are just like, you know, just really like keeping a business back from growing. So by applying scientific frameworks and scientific thinking, we can learn a lot faster. We can test our assumptions and we can get to the bottom of a lot of the problems that we're facing to come up with innovative solutions, to come up with, you know, ways of optimizing our business so that we learn faster, we grow faster, and we benefit faster. So that's basically the premise behind why, you know, science should be applied to business. And actually, it's not like a concept that, you know, I've kind of invented. Like, if you look at a lot of university degrees now and you look at a lot of, you know, experts in business fields, they'll often talk about business as an applied science, because we're trying to build knowledge, and to gain knowledge, we need the scientific method. So that was a bit long-winded, but that's sort of
nutshell. I'm glad you explained that, because like I said, we've been connected a while and things and stuff. I always wanted to ask you that stuff. I'm right. You're going to come on my podcast and I'm going to ask you it. So there we go. Brilliant. So look, so let's go into sort of the four areas today, obviously around growing your audience and your brand. So yeah, the five reasons, I'll just shut fram and let you then go with it. So the five reasons a customer will purchase from you.
Yes. So do you want me to just do one topic at a time or just talk about this one first?
Yeah, or however you prefer. Would you rather to just do one and we'll do that and then move on? How do you want to do it?
Yeah, let's do it that way. Otherwise, I'll forget.
Okay. Well, nice thing is I've got it here written in front of me. So I've got it as backup case you forget.
All right.
Yeah,
Sorry.
I was just going to check that he's live on LinkedIn. I don't know if anyone is watching or fires any questions through. We'll see. Right. Anyway, sorry, Lauren, back to you. So, yeah, five reasons.
All right. So the five reasons people will buy from you, they're all based around really our psychological, you know, needs and our biological needs. And Oliver, you'd be familiar with this well in your area of expertise, that there's certain reasons that we behave a certain way and there's certain drivers that we have. So the first drive is that we want to acquire something. So it might be something that's necessary, like food or water, like a biological need, or it might be something that is less tangible, like status or prestige, you know, that kind of thing. The second reason we buy is because we want to learn something. So this is what a lot of coaches and consultants and trainers offer, right? We're curious beings as humans, and we want to discover more about the world. So that's something else that businesses might offer. The third thing is this sort of drive to be protected and secure. And right now, actually, that's what we're really seeing a lot of people, you know, kind of after. So, you know, during times of economic crisis and when we feel really unsafe, you know, we want to talk to financial advisors, we want to talk to accountants, we want to kind of feel like, how do we protect ourselves with everything that's happening? You know, healthcare professionals, how do we look after ourselves when our health is threatened or our families are threatened? And then the last two drivers are more sort of emotional focused. So these are more about like how we want to, you know, be part of something greater than ourselves. So that sense of belonging to something, the sense of community and being part of something, that's one. And the other one, and this is the most important driver for us, and this is the most important reason why someone will connect with you and want to purchase from you, is this drive to feel. So people want to move away from pain and towards pleasure. And if you can do that for people and you can promise that to people, they're really going to connect with what you're offering. So it's something that actually people neglect a lot, especially in the business-to-business area. They think that, oh, no, but it's a business, so we don't need to talk about feelings. But actually, everyone in a business is still a person. So they still want to feel, and it's really important to remember that.
Yeah, I think so. And I think that pain point is answering, you know, the pain, your perfect buyer or your clients, and solving those pain issues, isn't it? Whatever industry you're in, and I think that's really relevant. I think that's a really great point. Yeah, I really do. Good. Do you want to any more around that, Lauren, or do you want me to throw number two at you?
Throw number two at me. Let's do it. Unless you have any questions.
No, I'm sure I will. If I have questions, I'll then fire them through. I'll just ask them as we go and let you finish the point. Hopefully I won't interrupt you when you're mid-flow if I get the point, but yeah, we'll do that. But interesting enough, and I think, you know, that real reason why, you know, that Simon Sinek, such a famous TED talk he did, didn't he, around the reason why, and, you know, they uses the Apple story, you know. People buy into that story as well, don't they, you know, and I think that's a really important thing, which I know you're going to elaborate on anyway. So just wanted to say that there. But yeah, number two, how to increase your visibility with no marketing budget.
Yeah, so this is a big issue for everyone at the moment, right? People are like, well, this is, you know, I keep saying this to people, this is a great time to grow your brand, and I think the most powerful way to do this at the moment is through content marketing. Because content marketing is, well, the way I define content marketing, anyway, there's different definitions, is that it's non-interruptive. So this isn't about advertising. It's not about pushing something out there. This is more about organic content that draws people in. And right now we've got so many eyeballs online. We've got people bored and wanting help or reflecting and thinking about, actually, you know, what am I doing here? What do I want to do next? What's my life about? So it's actually a really great time if you're a brand that's offering, you know, help as a consultant or a coach, if you're a brand that's sort of able to help people while they're pausing and reflecting, this is a great time to just be sharing your message. And the way that you can do that is through things like this. Now, I know that LinkedIn Live isn't available to everyone, but the way that you gain access to things like LinkedIn Live is by posting content. So I think a lot of people don't realize, but on LinkedIn, only like 1% of the whole of active users on LinkedIn actually post content. So it seems like, oh, there's all this content coming through, but actually it's one of the most powerful ways to get cut through online, in my opinion anyway. So even if you're like, well, my customer is a, you know, isn't a business person, it doesn't really matter, because a lot of people on LinkedIn, they, you know, they have a personal life as well. So, you know, if you're a health coach or something like that, you can still be, you know, sharing your message on LinkedIn. There's no reason that you can't do that. But it goes beyond that, right? So I think that the biggest thing is that you want to look at how you can tell, and this sort of leads into my third point. So I might kind of half save this for the next point, but when you're trying to increase your visibility, it's not about talking about yourself. I think a lot of people think like, oh, in order to create my, increase my visibility, I've like got to be here and like be talking about myself and like, look how great I am and look at like my perfect life, or, you know, that kind of thing, like pretend I'm famous until I am kind of thing. But that's not what's going to increase your visibility. What's going to increase your visibility is showing how you can provide value with content that connects with your customer. And we might talk about that a little bit more in the next sort of point. But if you have any questions about that, Oliver, I think I kind of covered the visibility thing, but we could probably talk about it a little bit more if you want to.
Yeah, no, great. What I wanted to ask you about, actually, because so just talking about visibility, I mean, I think LinkedIn is a brilliant platform now, and I think it's, you know, this is why I'm doing LinkedIn Live. I mean, I've got a Facebook page and we've got a Facebook group for the podcast, so a couple of things there. But I found that, you know, LinkedIn's a really good platform in terms of sharing that content. So you've mentioned LinkedIn. What other platforms do you use that you think are quite relevant?
So I think it depends on the person, firstly. So if you're someone who's really like, you love being on camera, or you're, you know, even if you don't love being on camera yet, you're good at talking, you know, you actually would be really good on camera. You want to be doing video content, right? But like, that's not everyone's jam, and that's okay. I think what happens a lot of time is everyone thinks like, oh, I have to be doing the same kind of content. Like, everyone's doing live videos, so I have to do live videos. Everyone's doing, you know, these times supposed to have to do that. What you want to do is actually play to your strengths. So if you're someone who loves writing and you're great at writing articles, like jump on Medium, jump on Quora, use platforms where bloggers connect and where people are asking questions that you can answer. Like Quora is actually a super, super powerful platform that not a lot of people, you know, recognize. So if you love writing, look at how you can use your writing skills to connect with people. You know, put text posts up or text posts with images. You don't have to be doing video if that's not your thing. So that's more like the type of media. And then in terms of channel, again, it sort of depends where your audience is. I did mention LinkedIn, and I do think LinkedIn is kind of something that everyone should be on because I just love it. But I think there's also a couple of things where people might be focusing a bit too much attention on a platform that isn't really generating, you know, return for them or getting them like those good kind of visible numbers. And then there's other platforms that they could be on that would. So a couple of examples of platforms like that is like YouTube and Pinterest, platforms where people can discover content. So they type something in that they're searching for right now, and then, you know, they get an answer of like, here's the content that's relevant to what you're looking for, and it lives there forever. Where something like Instagram, it's like, you know, you have to be really, really good at creating that thumb-stopping content. And you know, same with Twitter. Twitter, it's like, you know, you post it, 2 minutes later, like no one's ever going to see it again unless it's part of a conversation. So, you know, those kinds of things are worth thinking about as well. I think that Pinterest might be underutilized by a lot of people where they're using Instagram, not realizing that actually, you know, infographics and, you know, information or little ebook covers and things like that that act to sort of draw people to find out more about you through your website and things like that can be really, really powerful. There's a lot more I could talk about there, but I might leave it there if that's okay.
No, it's really good. I think it's really important. I think the take home points that I've just reinforced from taking it is, you know, is first of all, produce content that you're comfortable doing. That's the most important thing. Because trying to do something you're not comfortable doing, it might either take too long or it's not how you want to do it. And the second thing is focus on the platforms where your target audience are, or which you feel best on and the most traction. You know, this emerging platforms. You know, we've got to talk about TikTok at the moment and things like that. But I think that unless they're all great, they're emerging and stuff to understand platforms and things. But if you're someone that's not really prevalent yet on social media or posting too much, just stick to what you almost know, and then you can build and grow from there.
Yeah,
100%. Cool. Right.
Number.
Oh yeah. No, please go. No. I'm going to go on to the next point. No, go, Lauren. Great.
Go on to the next point. It's okay. Let's do it.
No. Please say. Go.
Well, one thing I was going to say is just that, you know, I don't want people to take away the message that it's like, oh, unless I'm comfortable doing something, I shouldn't produce content. It's more about like, if you're someone who, like, you might never have done video before, but you really love conversation. Like, I wasn't, like, straight off the bat, like, comfortable on camera, but I knew I loved talking. So it's like also looking a little bit into your personality and going, well, actually, what would really show people what I'm actually like? I think that's more the way to look at it. So challenge yourself. You still want to push yourself. You know what I mean? Like, push yourself to your limit.
And you've got to get uncomfortable doing it. And then once, if you're making yourself uncomfortable doing things, you'll get comfortable with it, and then you can move forward, definitely. And I think that, and I also think that people can overthink it as well. Like, if you're trying to put out a good message and it's not note perfect or it's not worded perfect, don't matter. Don't worry about it. Your networks, your audience will appreciate it. If anyone wants to sort of troll you that it's wrong and stuff, then for them, feel sorry for them, not yourself, and just sort of get on with it. And I know it's easier said than done, but yeah, I think that's that. But whatever happens, people do need to be producing content and need to be producing content on socials, whether we're in a unprecedented times right now or what we'd maybe call new normal or normal times.
100%.
Great. Right. So number three was the biggest mistake most people make when they tell their story.
Okay. So this kind of goes a little bit back to my last point, but I'm just going to delve into it a little bit deeper. So I mentioned that you want to look at how you create value. And the easiest way to think about this is to think about sort of the hero's journey. I know a lot of people talk about this, but a lot of people still making mistakes with this. So I'm going to talk about it. So the idea with the hero's journey is you have, you know, the hero of the story, and you have the guide, and the hero goes through sort of these five stages. So they, you know, they start off with like understanding a little bit about their situation, the world they're in, and they face a problem. To solve that problem, they meet a guide. The guide helps them find a solution, and that through that they gain, you know, benefits, results, outcomes. But what a lot of people are doing when they're going, oh, I'm going to tell the hero's story, is then they go, well, our brand is the hero. So this is the situation our brand is in. You see it all the time when you go to people's websites or even when you look at the content. So they'll say things like, hi, like, you know, I'll give you an example. Hi, I'm Lauren Kress, and today I want to talk to you about how blah, 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 blah. And the problem is like, you've already lost my attention because you haven't made it about, you know, the person that's actually listening, right? So the person who's listening is going, okay, but that's not relevant to me. You've had your 5 seconds. I'm going to move on to the next thing. And so the thing you really want to show and demonstrate when you're talking to people and you're telling your story is that, like, you are the hero of the story. You as the customer are the hero. I understand your situation. So you can start by saying something like, are you finding it really hard to connect with your audience at the moment? Yes, I am finding that really hard. Yeah, what's happening a lot of the time is, and then you explain the problem. So then they're like, yeah, that's me. I'm in that situation, and this is a problem I'm dealing with. And then you position yourself as the brand, as the guide. So you're saying, okay, now what you need to do, here's the solution. Here's the results I get for the clients or the customers that I work with. And here's, you know, sort of the call to action. Here's what you need to do to come on this journey with me. But what I see time and time again is brands are still making the mistake of making it about themselves instead of making it about their customers.
Yeah, brilliant. I love that. I love that reframing and how to approach those opening points, because You know, people just scroll and it's like you've either got to get them early. For new customers, new clients, customers, connections, whatever, if connections know what you do and they like your, you know, what you're doing, they'll always then follow and read your posts and stuff. But for new people, you've got to capture them early, definitely. And I love that reframing, you know, focusing on them, not yourself. And, you know, and that's pretty good. Cool. Anything else on that? Obviously, telling your story, or do you want me to lead on to number four?
Let's go to number four. Let's do it. Let's smash it out.
The five pillars for brand growth.
Okay, so this is the system that I use, and I sort of adapted it off the work by a guy in Australia. He's pretty well-renowned, called Professor Byron Sharp. He's actually a marketing scientist. So he sort of talks about these four pillars for brand growth, which is based on what we see happening time and time again over a long period of time of how brands grow. And that's actually the title of his book, is How Brands Grow. So I kind of took that and I was like, yeah, I agree with these things, but I kind of changed a little bit. So I want to give credit to him, but I've, you know, kind of tweaked it a little bit. So the first pillar for brand growth is you need to be really clear on your purpose and your contribution to the world. So before, Oliver, you mentioned Simon Sinek, and this is sort of what his golden circle is about. It's like a lot of businesses will talk about their what, a lot of businesses will talk about their how, but they won't talk about their why. Why are you doing this? Why are you doing the how and the what? You know, so for instance, an example I've used before is like, say you've got a toy company that manufactures toys for kids, right? What happens a lot of the time is in their vision statements, in their mission statements, they'll be saying things like, we manufacture and produce toys for children aged 2 to 12, something like that, right? Or, you know, that kind of thing. And it's like, okay, but like, why are you doing that? If we actually look at what you're doing, what are you bringing to the world? So something that would be more like a powerful vision statement that really inspires people would be, you know, our goal is to enable every child to have an educational and joyful upbringing, you know, or something like that, where you kind of go like, oh, like that's why you make educational toys, because your ultimate goal is actually to inspire or empower kids or make their lives better. You know, that's something we can all get behind. So that's really, really important as like the first sort of pillar of your brand, is to know why you exist and what you're doing it for. The second pillar, I'm just trying to remember now, what is the second pillar, is to have distinct and salient brand assets. So these are things that are going to help people identify who you are and what you're doing. Now, if you're a small business, or maybe you're just you, then this could be, you know, your face. Like, no one else looks like you, right? Unless you've got a twin. So, you know, that could be part of, you know, people are very good at recognizing faces. So a lot of the time when people think brand, they're thinking logos and things like that. And that can be important for a business brand. But if you're, you know, starting off on your own, it could just be you and you being you. You know, no one else can be you. That is quite unique. And that's something that people are going to recognize and start to remember. So we want to have things that and cues that show people that we are connecting ourselves with the things that are relevant to them. You know, so for me, the business scientist, okay, what does that mean? This is me. This is the sort of connections that things like science and business have, and this is what we start to think about and the associations we have with them. So again, it's a bit complicated, but hopefully it gives you a bit of a
This is brilliant. No, really good, Lauren. Really good.
The third one is
you're in flow. Keep going.
Okay, going.
It's great. Really good.
So the third one is about your media and your market penetration. So we talked a little bit about media before, like the type of content that you produce. But the other thing is obviously to make sure you're getting it out in front of the right people. So, you know, how are you creating that content? How are you telling that story? And then where are you putting it to make sure the right eyeballs or the right ears are seeing and hearing that content? So, you know, I think a lot of the time we see like people might be focusing on this happens a lot in the business to business space. They might be focusing on like mass media kind of activities, but actually what might work heaps better for them is doing like joint ventures where they talk to other people in business who they can collaborate with and go, how about we do a mailing list swap? Or how about we jump on each other's shows? You know, that kind of thing, because that's actually going to enable them to get in front of the right audience with the right content. And then we have, I will say one other thing about that. The really important thing for people to realize with market penetration is you do need to do it often. So if you're kind of like posting once a month, you know, on your Facebook page and it doesn't have a lot of followers, then that's not really going to get you the reach you need to get to actually start attracting customers. So you always want to be looking for new ways to reach people that you need to be speaking to. Where are they and how do you get in front of them? All the time.
Yeah, it's great. But what I was going to say to you about, and I think like podcasts or interviews or collaborations, it's the power of the connections. And then, you know, you're saying about if it's a collaboration or interviews or going on shows and doing stuff, that, you know, the networks, the connection, the leverage that can give you. And I think that's, you know, they're all really good things for that market penetration you're speaking about. And also, I think, which is really important, just like us chatting today and stuff, you know, that it's the great stuff you're sharing. My networks are seeing what you're about, then they'll connect with you. So, and you're saying good things and likewise. And it's I think that's really, really important. And I think, you know, you've covered three so far around your five that you're going to do. And they're all really, really practical things and actually really relevant things right now, even more so. So, yes, yeah, brilliant.
Well, I think the other thing is that a lot of the time people, when they talk about what to do with brand growth or what to do with marketing, they sort of give you these long lists. So it used to be like 5 ways you can and 10 ways you can. And now it's become like 98 ways you can grow your LinkedIn profile, you know, and it's just really overwhelming. Where if you sort of understand the pillars, it's sort of like, okay, purpose and contribution, distinct and salient assets, then you can dive into each of those further as much as you want, as long as you understand that you kind of need all 5. So I should probably tell you what the other two are.
Yes.
So the fourth one is about what is your fourth one about? It's sort of about your point of sales, but I can't remember exactly what I called it. That doesn't matter. Point of sale. It's like, how are people going to find you and how are people going to purchase from you? Like, how are you physically and virtually available to them? So right now during coronavirus and during this pandemic, we've seen this as sort of like a massive issue, and we've also seen some really amazing ways that businesses have adapted. So, for instance, brick and mortar businesses that have never been online have jumped online because that's the way that people can still purchase from them. So they've made themselves virtually available because they're not physically available for purchase at the moment. We need to be looking at where are people actually going to make the transaction and how do we make that as easy as possible. What happens a lot of the time is people might have all of those first three pillars, like, and I see this quite a bit, of those first three pillars, like, solid, but then it's like people are like, it's so hard to buy from you, or it takes heaps long for, like, your checkout page to load, or I put my credit, and I've had this happen a few times, I put my credit card in, and, like, there was some issue with the transaction which had nothing to do with my credit card, and then I'm, like, not only frustrated, but I'm kind of probably, like, you've lost the sale. But also I'm probably not going to come back because I'm going to be like, oh, that was a really frustrating experience, you know. So it's really important we look at how can we make ourselves, you know, easy to purchase where and when the customer needs. And then the fifth one, and this is
can I just ask, on that fourth one, just ask one, what tips for you, like, you know, obviously, you know, on LinkedIn, is it a lead magnet where people might connect with you? You're giving some value to maybe get their email for a further conversation. You know, is it just a sales link to your, you know, to your, say, your entry level offering, or should it be like a 5-minute consultation? How do you find the right approach is? You know, obviously, website, or if you're posted on socials, it should sort of sit.
Yeah, it's a really good question. So what I've actually been finding for me personally, and I think others are finding this as well, like I've definitely seen this with some of my clients, is people don't want to click away. So with LinkedIn, let's use LinkedIn as an example. Say someone sees this and they're like, oh, that's cool. Like I might connect with Lauren or might connect with Oliver. And then they go to our profile page probably because they're like, you know, they've got to connect with us. That's probably as far as they'll go. And what I find is that then people will message me. Like they won't go to, even if I've got my calendar booking thing there or I've got an ebook, some people will, but it's much easier for people to just message me. And I'm like, that's cool. You can just send me a message. That's no problems. And I think people are finding this on Facebook as well, is like the less steps for the customer to like start engaging, the better. So don't feel bad if people aren't going to your website and they're having conversations with you on LinkedIn. That's awesome, because people are still inquiring. They're just doing it in a different way.
So would you almost say, just send me a message, let's chat, almost as something within that?
Yep. Send a message, email, make it super, super easy.
Yeah. And then interesting one around LinkedIn. I'm probably getting about 75 spam stroke sales inboxes a day at the moment. It's gone a bit crazy. Yeah. You know, you sort of sense someone connects with you, then I'm going to get a sales offering their service, which I've got no problem with people. You know, it is business and stuff, but it makes me really less wanting to buy. Have you got a sort of, I'm sure you're probably maybe getting some inbox filling up as well. What have you got sort of a, what works for you, you know, like a bit of a process? Because, you know, it's, you've just said someone looks at one of us today or looks at you and go, right, I'm going to connect with a lot of great stuff. What do you offer? Reaches out with a message, you know, is what's the then step? You know, is it a further conversation? Is it giving them something to take away? You know, how do you sort of see that conversation going? Because there's a lot of spamming at the moment. A lot of people just sending that sales pitch straight away without even getting to know someone.
Yeah, 100%. So there's differing opinions about this. I've talked to a few like LinkedIn experts who like specifically just work on like LinkedIn growth. So Karen Tisdall is one. And her, when I talked to her, she was kind of like, don't sell until someone asks you to basically tell them about your offer. I would probably say I think that's a little bit too extreme. I think you can make an offer, but you need to be a human about it. So I also spoke with another guy, Leon Redman, recently, who's actually released an ebook about this, which I'm definitely going to download. It sounds awesome, where he talks about like some of the ways that you can really, like, he's looked at a lot of data and basically gone, this is how you can do this in a good way that actually gets results. For me, because I don't have to get like massive amounts of quantity of clients, because I work more as like a consultant, so I work more intensely with less clients. What I generally find works is just to be genuinely curious about people and have a discussion. And what I find is that, and actually this does work quite well, is if new people like your posts or new people comment, just send them a message and say thanks. Just kind of create a little bit of like, hi, I'm here, I've seen you. It's been really amazing to see some of the things that come back when you kind of, you know, just for me anyway, when I've kind of reached out and just said, hey, like, thanks so much for commenting on my post. I just had a look at your profile. Love what you're doing. How about we have a virtual coffee chat sometime? And that's it. I don't do like the hard sell.
No, but that's a great way of doing it all. And then it's, you know, balls in their court, no pressure, isn't it? You know, they can even, you know, carry it on or not. So it's great. Your last point, you got lastly on your fifth pillar now around that brand growth.
Mm-hmm. So this one I think is one that a lot of people forget when it comes to brand and to marketing as well, is that you need resource and funding. Now, before we talked about ways to grow visibility without money, so it doesn't have to be that you have money straight away, but you need to have some sort of plan for how you can dedicate resource to it. So whether it's that you're dedicating your time, whether it's that you're doing something collaborative and you're being creative with how you can do like maybe a bit of a contra deal or a swap with someone or joint ventures and things like that, you need to put time into this. What I see a lot of people do is they create a Facebook page, they create a LinkedIn profile, they don't optimize it, they don't think about what they're putting out on social media, and then they're like, marketing doesn't work. You know, and it's like, well, yeah, because you haven't put any sort of effort into it, so of course it's not going to work. And it does take time. This is not something that happens overnight. Like the minimum time it takes to grow a brand, if you're really, you know, pushing, and this is what the research shows, is at least 3 months. So don't expect to be putting something out there on YouTube tomorrow and you've got thousands of views the next day. It's just not going to happen. I think people think that when they see people who've got bigger brands, they're like, wow, like that person's like so successful. It just like happened overnight. I never heard of them. And now like look what they're doing. And it's like, no, they were actually building their brand for a very long period of time. And it's just big enough that now you've seen it, you know.
10 years to an overnight success, hey?
That's it. So
I think sorry, Lauren, I was going to say something that's really great, which you mentioned there, and I use it sort of around sort of fitness goals as well, is with people, you know, you're saying things sort of take time. And I think the reason people can give up with maybe social media or content marketing is because they do a couple of posts, get not much back, and give up and see there's no point in doing that. But, you know, you've got to build a relationship. You've got to build trust in people. Like, and it's over a real long period of time, you know. Like, I don't know, even on LinkedIn. LinkedIn have been on quite a while. Now there's, like, some really good connections and conversations. There's a lot more happening. But that is, like, a lot of posting, you know, consistently daily for, like, over a year. And so I think people need to realize that things do take a long time. And it's the same as getting fit and healthy. I talk to people and I educate clients. But, you know, you're not going to do it overnight. You know, 1 week of great living doesn't mean you're getting the shape you want to get into. It's consistency. It's keeping it going. It's doing it on the bad days. It's not giving up on those days. It's overcoming them and moving forward and looking over a long period of time. That's sustainable living, sustainable content marketing, you know. So I think it's a really important message I want to get across around that, you know.
I agree with you. I think the other thing is that if there's ways to kind of find, like, if you manage your expectations, you will actually see those small rewards and they will be a little bit sooner. So for instance, you know, for me, I remember it was like when I launched my podcast, I had quite a few people say yes straight away. And I was like, oh, that's like, I didn't expect people to say yes. So that was like a little win. It wasn't like the podcast was like a massive success or anything, but I was like, people said yes to being a guest on my show. Like, that doesn't exist yet. How cool is that? So I think it's also finding those, and I imagine it's the same with health as well.
Yeah, definitely. It really is. That's cool. So, like, you've obviously some amazing stuff there. Anything else around the 4 points? I'm going to ask you one more question, and obviously then just how people can reach you. So anything else you wanted to just add, Lauren?
Look, that I covered a lot in a very short period of time. So if people are like, oh, I'm feeling a bit overwhelmed, I do talk about these kind of pillars, and I've got some tools and things like that in my first season of Grow Your Brand. So it's a podcast series that sort of teaches you step by step what to do, because I think that when you're being exposed to a lot of this stuff the first time, it can feel like a bit of information overload. So yeah, it's all free. Do lots and lots of free content. So happy to share those links if you like.
Yeah, it'd be great. Well, I'll put them in the podcast notes. Share them with me. Also, like, I know that people will be, there's some really golden nuggets in there. I know people, you know, urge people, you know, get in touch, you connect, have that conversation, find out a little bit more. Lauren, how can people find you? What have you got going on? Anything else you want to mention at the moment?
The easiest way to find me is on LinkedIn. That's where I spend a lot of my time. Right where we are now. So let me know that you heard about me through Oliver's podcast. You know, let me know that you or LinkedIn Live. I always love to hear where people found out about me from and why they're connecting. And then if you want to access my free resources, just go to laurencrest.com, and there's a free video series on how to start your business. There's free, you know, podcast series on how to grow your brand. So I do try to provide a lot of value.
No, you do. And that's why it's really important. I think you coming on, that's the guests that want to come on that provide value, that are sharing, that can really help people right now. What's your podcast called? Just exactly, because obviously people will search for it and find it.
It's called Grow Your Brand.
Great. So go and read. I've listened to some episodes. It's great. Lauren, you know, does some really good, has some guests on, shares and actually does her own talks as well. So I strongly urge that people get on and do that. What's your favorite quote and word you live by?
Okay, so it's know thyself or know yourself, which Aristotle said, and it's only two words, but I think it's really, really good.
I like it. Great. Lauren, listen, thanks so much for your time. I'm going to say this morning for this evening for you, end of the week for you, a well-earned glass of wine, I think. But look, thanks so much for your time, and I really appreciate it. If anyone did watch on LinkedIn today, thanks for watching, or if you watch about later, it's great. I'll obviously tag Lauren in, so Lauren better see any comments. If you do any further questions, I'm sure Lauren at some point and I, we can answer them for anyone that did check in. Yeah, just from my perspective, I hope the interview has helped. If there's anything you feel I could cover, anything that you think we could do better or improve or you'd like to see, then reach out, drop me a message or just connect, or anyone can help. It'd be great to hear from you. And likewise, connect with Lauren, listen to her podcast, and it's a great lady to go and connect with and find out more. Lauren, once again, thanks for your time.
Thanks, Oliver. It's really fun.
Have a great weekend, everybody, and all take care.
Thank you so much for listening to the podcast today. I hope you all enjoyed it and got value. If you did, then if you could head over to the platform you listened on and leave us a 5-star review, as it will help this podcast to reach more people, something we're really passionate about. You could also subscribe to the episodes to receive them as soon as they're released. And I'd love to get your feedback on these recent 4 at 4 episodes I've been doing. What you found valuable, what you've taken away, what we could improve on, what type of guest / business area you'd like to sort of bring on or see. If you could just drop me a message on socials, Ollie Berquez, OLLIE, on any of the main platforms I'm on, it'd be great to get your feedback and thoughts. If you're looking to get a deeper level of support around fitness, business, mindset and performance, then I would love you to be a part of my private Facebook community on Facebook and WhatsApp. On Facebook, just search Brain Brawn Business and you can connect with the group that way and follow the WhatsApp link, which is in the show notes of the podcast, for the more interactive messaging that WhatsApp brings. If you're a company owner and director looking to improve the health, productivity and performance of your employees, then we've got an app called Lifestyle, which has a ton of resources. Over 50 home workouts, video tutorials on each exercise, 100 recipes, breakfast, lunches, dinners, snacks, healthy treats, section on mental health, reducing stress and anxiety, and blogs and articles on mindset and performance. There's also a chat room which allows employees to interact and have conversations with each other just to build that camaraderie and banter and communication. If you'd like to find out more about that, then just email me on oliver@4dfit.co.uk. That's the number 4DFIT. Once again, thank you so much for listening to the podcast today. And remember, the good lifestyle you keep is better than the perfect one you don't.